Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm Mike Salmon, alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Mike. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good today. No purple tie this morning.
No, just I went green. Again, thank you for letting the listeners know. Paint a good picture, Mike.
I want them to know that you're a well-dressed man. You may be a few, you know, a week or so late for St. Patrick's Day, but you still at least got the green on today.
You know, my wife always says I'm behind in scheduling, so...
There
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Mike.
Yeah, just a little bit late. Hey, want to thank welcome our guests to the show today. Joining us are Sam Pallara with Samcor & Associates, Carrie Cunningham from Physiotherapy Associates, and I'm going to call it psychotherapy sometime today during the show. I know I'm going to mess it up. Physiotherapy Associates.
I think you just did.
We do a little bit of that.
Yeah, well, I just want to let people know I'm going to do it, so Carrie, be prepared for that. And Mark Potter with Conduit Incorporated.
Right.
And also Canvas Magazine, which we'll be talking about. But we'll start with Sam. Sam Pallara with Samcor & Associates. Sam, welcome to the program. Tell us all about your company and what you do.
Well, basically, it's a very simple company. Most good ideas are fairly simple. What we do is we buy distressed properties, basically three-bedroom, two-baths, residential properties in neighborhoods where people keep their property up in all around the metro Atlanta area, and we renovate them because they are distressed, and then we rent them to people who need a place to live.
How did you get started in this business?
Well, I closed my consulting practice in 2008, and after 2 years, I was bored to death. So what I did was, as I started trying to buy and renovate houses and then sell them. Well, it wasn't too long before I found out that selling them was easy. Closing the deal was very difficult because people could not afford. The housing market had collapsed, and that's why I actually got into it. So after a couple of years of trying to do that and not doing it very well, I told my realtor, go ahead and put one up for rental. And as it happens, that very day, someone was looking for a rental property. This was in Gwinnett, Lawrenceville. And the real estate agent who was handling that rental, I met her, and a month later we got together for lunch and tried to figure out what to do in this market. So we tried to keep doing the same thing, you know, crazy. And that didn't work. Again, didn't work. Took a year to sell one property. But then I said to her, look, we're having a hard time with the sale of a property, but we keep getting phone calls with people wanting to rent them. Maybe we ought to get in the thing that exists rather than the one that obviously does not. So we did, and it was a success almost from the start.
Sam, how many properties do you have now, and how do you identify the homes that you want to go ahead and invest in?
Well, we're on our 10th property right now, three-bedroom, two-bath in various neighborhoods. But what we look for are houses that don't have a structural problem. Their problem is basically cosmetic, but they should be in an area or a neighborhood that is being kept up by the other owners that are residential, of course. And we're looking for three bedrooms, two baths, and two-car garages. Now, we will compromise on the garages. We'll compromise on how many stories it has and how many bedrooms, but not less than three bedrooms, two baths. We renovate them. We put in a refrigerator, a stove, a dishwashing machine, and carpeting or hardwood floors, paint them, what have you. And then we rent them out at, right now, below market rentals in our areas.
We're talking with Sam Pallara with Samcor & Associates. You mentioned the three-bedroom, two-bath. Why that specific model? Why nothing maybe larger or smaller?
Well, because larger is more expensive, and we do have a very tight control over expenses. And smaller, people don't want. So basically, three bedrooms, two baths are an ideal size for our market, and our market is working-class people who want to live in a nice house but can't afford to buy one, and the rentals are reasonable.
Let me ask a follow-up question, because I want to go back to something you said that I think everybody who listens, their ears will kind of perk up, and that is that you're renting these out at a little bit below market going rate. Is that because you have focused on exactly what you want and you have a process that you can kind of control the costs, or is it just because you're a big-hearted, nice man?
Oh, yes, big-hearted and nice man,
I want to make sure I get that in. So.
What we did was, because of how well we do what we do, we can renovate these properties in nice neighborhoods for around $40,000 a piece. So we pass that obvious attraction to the people we want to rent to, because the lower the rent, the more choices you have, and we can get the best people who are available for renting houses.
How do you screen the people that rent your homes?
Well, we screen them for, are they employed? Have they in the past paid their rent? Basically, that's how it's done. And my partner, Courtney Gore-Smith, who is a beautiful young African-American woman who owns her own company, Endless Solutions Realty, and has been in this market for 10 years. She's only 31, but she is an excellent businesswoman, and she is really the technical part of this business. I was mostly organization and backroom and finance, and she does the technical side. And we are equal partners in this business.
Now, you have investors as
yes.
part of this company.
Yes, we do.
You call them associates, I believe.
Associates, because we get away from the term investor a little bit. They are associates, and they are welcome to contribute capital to what we're doing without any of the backroom work that it takes to do this, because this is not something everybody ought to get involved in, please. a lot of secondary sales going on for people that found out that this is not as easy as it looks. Because of our system and our process, we can offer people a very good return on their capital contribution. We offer between 7 and 11% return, and we guarantee the 7%. We don't think it'll probably go above 11, but if it did, we would do that. But right now, we are giving there's a return of 9.1% on the money that is contributed to us. We keep track of it. They can either have a check every month, if that's what they want, or they can just have an account, which we give, and they can, you know, take it around Christmas time if it's necessary. We do have a minimum of $5,000 now. It used to be $10,000 to contribute, because you have to control the paperwork. And we are about to really roll out our marketing program, because it's a new marketing program.
Sam, you mentioned the house in Lawrenceville that kind of maybe kicked this whole thing off. How big is your market? How far will you go? Obviously, this is Gwinnett Business Radio, so Lawrenceville being in Gwinnett. But is it outside Gwinnett? Is it all areas of Gwinnett? Kind of talk about
it's,
your market.
It's the Atlanta metro area. We own houses in DeKalb, Rockdale, Conyers in Rockdale, mm-hmm. Clayton County, Fulton County, and Gwinnett County.
So it is Metro Atlanta.
Metro Atlanta. We as long as we can drive there within a couple hours, we'll probably. And sometimes during the day, it takes a couple hours to get almost anywhere in Metro.
How do you find your investors? I would think with that type of return, once people hear that, they're flocking to you. So you know, the question is, you know, how do you add investors, and how do you screen investors as well?
Well, we screen investors for the capability. Well,
I'm sorry, associates, Sam.
Associates,
we'll
yes.
Well done. Thank you.
Yes,
I caught myself.
I do that all the time because it is an investment for them, and it is something they want. Basically, what we're looking for are people who can afford it. This is not something there is always risk involved. Now, the fact that we buy so low and we are able to produce really nice houses at the prices that we do it, the cost that we do it, the risk factor is quite low. These houses used to sell for $125,000 to $150,000 a piece, and they are well worth that in a normal market. And one day they'll be worth that again. So their risk factor is quite low. But we do limit the total investment to about $160,000 per individual. And the reason we do that is multifold. But basically, we don't want people putting all their eggs in any one basket. We think that that's a good limit to have, and it comes out to four properties on an average basis. Now, they don't have anything to do with rent, you know, finding rental people or fixing plumbing or any of that. They have no risk in terms of insurance or taxes or any of that stuff. The nice thing about our company and why it's different is we have no employees. We have no salaries. Courtney and I don't earn a dime unless everybody else does too. And our basic costs are virtually all variable. So that's the reason we can offer what we offer.
Sam, I'm going to ask you to look in your crystal ball a little bit and look a couple years in the future. I loved your story of how you almost were at the point of insanity trying to do the same thing and not getting the results you wanted, so you kind of listened to the market. There's a lot more renters because of what's happened in the real estate market. I want you to look ahead a couple of years. As the market starts to come back, do you believe that there will always be enough renters for you to continue this model, or will the model kind of move to maybe selling some of the properties and taking some profits and passing it on to the associates?
The situation we're in right now is not going to last forever. This opportunity is not going to last forever for us or any associate that contributes capital to it. You either get involved in it now or you're going to miss the boat. It really is true, because the market is, in fact, increasing. The fact that we are in the very lowest part of this market is a real advantage, because a lot of people are buying houses to do what we're doing that are much more expensive than ours, but the rentals aren't that much higher. So what I foresee is that sometime down the road we will have an active rental market, because they're nice houses and they are below market in terms of the rentals. But also, there is a possibility that at some point we might just sell the company off, because if these houses hit $125,000 and $150,000 again, look at the capital gain that we are going to offer. And our associates get 25% of that capital gain on a prorated basis based on how much of their investment they have done, because we also give out capital gains if we sell the houses.
Well, and I think, Mike, I'm going to just give a quick testimonial here for Sam, because I think one of the things he raised that's very important is he's not doing this to get a salary. He's in the exact same boat as his associates.
Oh, I'm in a much tougher than my associates. I've put almost $400,000 into this business.
Oh, that's amazing. What do you say to the I don't want to say the naysayers, but the people that might be a little skeptical, saying, wait a minute, these kind of returns, you can't find that anywhere else. Stephen, you know that. You're a financial planner. You know, it sounds too good to be true. What do you say to that? And maybe that's the kind of person, if they have those kind of concerns, you might don't want them to be an associate of yours as well.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that we do and we require is a pledge of funds before a contribution of funds. Basically, we say, look, we don't have a property against which to buy, take your money. But when we do, we will be more than happy to, once we have a bid that's accepted that is ours, the house is going to be ours and we're just waiting to close it, then we go to them and say, okay, you have pledged $40,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is, $5,000, and we now have property against which we can put this money. And in that way, we are not holding people's money. And the risk is minimum for them, because it is hard asset that we end up with, and it's a hard asset that they're involved in, without all the all the problems of owning real estate and renting properties.
Without the headache of being a landlord,
yeah. Exactly. We take all of that. We only, on every rent that comes into us, we only subtract out the monthly cost of insurance and the monthly prorated taxes. That's it. They don't pay anything else. And once that comes in, then that's when the first checks go out to the associates. And when we're all done with that, Courtney and I divide up whatever's left 50-50. That's how we earn our living.
And I think, Sam, to some of the naysayers, you nailed it when you said this is such a special, unique opportunity.
Absolutely.
The market has provided what you almost don't have time to educate people. Either they get it or they don't. And there are plenty of people who – well, I kind of want to get into real estate, but do I want to deal with the landlords? Do I want to deal with it? And you're saying, look, be an associate. There's an opportunity here. Either they see it or they don't. Is that
the first person that contributed to us, the first associate, was the attorney that closed our last deal. Because he said, well, what are you doing? And we told him what we were doing, and he says, I'm in. And he has he invested $20,000 without hesitation, and he's a real estate attorney. So, yeah, if people who get it. And he said he had owned the houses, and all he ever made on them was 9% himself, because he had to hire all these other people to do all this stuff, and plus he had all the headaches because he still was, you know, involved in being a landlord. So he said, this is a good deal. And I said, yeah, and we just mail him his check every month, you know, just ready as clockwork.
Well, Sam, for those that might want to find out more information or get in touch with you, where would you direct them?
I would direct them to our website. It's www.samcour, S-A-M-C-O-U-R, a combination of Sam and Courtney, .com. www.samcour.com.
S-A-M-C-O-U-R.com. Sam, thanks so much for joining us on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Thank you for having me.
All right, joining us now on the show is Carrie Cunningham with Physiotherapy Associates in Lanier. She is the clinic director and a physical therapist. I said that okay so far. So far, so good, knock on wood. Carrie, welcome to the program. Tell us all about Physiotherapy Associates and what you guys do there.
Well, we are physical therapy. We provide physical therapy to anyone who has pain, an injury, sports. We provide it for athletes. So we do a little bit of anything that has anything to do with physical therapy. So if you are having some neck pain or some back pain or shoulder pain or elbow pain or
Steven's already raised his hand.
Yes.
Okay. We can take care of you.
Okay, so I was going to ask the silliest question of the day, because that's what I do very well.
There are no silly questions.
Just silly people.
Right.
And Steven is not that either.
So is there a difference between somebody who says, yeah, we're a physical therapy clinic, and what you guys say, which is we are physiotherapy? Is there any difference in the two words?
No, there's not. It's
go.
The same.
I'm done.
What a silly question.
There is a difference in probably how we provide the care.
Ah, well, why don't you go into that?
So I think we
now
pride
ourselves. That's a great question.
And she asked it of herself.
So one of the things that we pride ourselves on at our clinic is the customer service that you're going to get from when Amanda, who is my patient service manager, who is the first person that you will come in contact with, is fantastic. She is wonderful to talk to. She gets it with helping the person on the phone, whether it be an adjuster for a work comp, whether it be a patient who calls to set up an appointment, whether it's the doctor's office who calls and says, hey, we have a patient that needs some therapy. You know, we try to take care of everybody in the best way that we know how, because really when you come to our clinic, you're family. So we try to treat you like that. So Amanda will get all your information and she will call your insurance company for you. She will set up your appointment for you for whatever works best for you. We have extended hours both in the morning and in the evening time to try to take care of everybody's schedules. So that's kind of how we do it at our clinic. And then when you walk in the door, you get to see me.
And you would be Carrie Cunningham with Physiotherapy Associates Lanier. You do something called dry needling.
Yes.
Is that just a fancy term for acupuncture?
It is not. So I am not an acupuncturist. I'm a physical therapist. We use acupuncture needles. So that's really the only similarity there. And we actually go into the muscle. So you have those knots in your muscles, those trigger points. We like to call them trigger points. We take that acupuncture needle and we go into that trigger point and we shut it down. So we've had some amazing, amazing results for our patients with doing that. We've had people come in who've been on lists and lists and lists of medications, or have been having headaches and migraines or back pain for years, who have not been able to get any relief any other way. And we can do trigger point dry needling to those muscles that are giving them a lot of trouble. And they literally have gotten up off the table and said, I have not felt this good in years. And a couple of them have cried, which always makes me cry because that's so amazing. Tears of joy.
Just wanted to be clear.
Yes, tears of joy. They get up and they say, Carrie, thank you so much for learning this. I know, right?
I'd be crying before you started sticking me.
Actually,
feel the needle, I promise.
Okay, so that I wanted to ask that follow-up question.
Yes.
So you said people come to you after they've tried all these other things.
Sure.
And I think a cultural statement would be the reason they've tried those other things is, I don't want anybody sticking a needle in me.
Well, they don't know I'm going to stick the needle in them when they come
you
in the door.
Like, dry
right,
needling.
Yes. Well,
sometimes
that's the first they've learned of it. So a lot of times they've had injections, though, and they're sticking a huge needle in you for that. That one's hollow and puts medication in you. So
are you going to say, here on the air, and it doesn't. It's not going to be as bad as you think it is.
Correct.
It doesn't feel
correct
like a needle going in you.
Correct. Sometimes it
just
depends.
Is there a money back guarantee?
No. So it depends on where it is. So I will say there are some parts of the body for me, because I've had it done to me, mm-hmm. that are a little more uncomfortable than others. The back and the neck, I tend to think, are probably some of the more comfortable areas to have it done. Just you don't have as many, especially on the back, you don't really have as many sensation points. It's like maybe say on the hand or the foot,
right?
You know, that might be a little tougher to take because you feel that a little bit more, but the pain that you're in, way worse,
right,
than any sort of little small
there you go
potential, you know, it's the needle is super thin and super small, so it's not really the needle that people have a problem with.
So the point is, if you're in pain,
so the point is
that's a good one. I like that.
I didn't even mean that. And I won't call them investors. I'll call them associates. If you are in any kind of pain,
yes,
the potential pain of the needle going in is not near as bad as the pain you're already experiencing.
Correct.
And the most important part is when you get done,
it's gone.
You'll cry tears of joy.
Exactly.
Mark Potter is next, and he's like, what did I get myself into here? Let's change the subject just a little bit as far as sticking needles in ourselves. You're a certified pitching coach. Now,
correct.
Both Stephen and I have sons that play baseball. I have had a daughter that's played softball, so our ears perk up when we hear you talking about this. Talk about certified pitching coach and what you do there, because I've never heard about that at a physical therapy type place.
Physiotherapy.
Sure.
Right.
So the wonderful thing about that is my background in physical therapy and biomechanics. So I kind of understand the athlete and how they perform and how to make their performance a little bit better. So I had the opportunity to go to California and take with the National Pitching Association, NPA, with Tom House. He's part of that, along with they have a lot of research with ASMI, which is in Birmingham, Alabama. They work with
– Is Tom House the former major league pitcher?
Yes.
Absolutely, and
yes.
Pitching coach for the Texas Rangers. Go
yes.
ahead. I'm very intrigued.
Nolan
go on,
Ryan, yes, yeah. absolutely. So I was able to go and learn from him, and we learned all about pitching mechanics. And so now I am a certified pitching coach through Tom House and his NPA. And so basically an athlete would come into me, or a pitcher specifically, but also any overhead athlete would also benefit from this. So if you are a volleyball player or overhead thrower of any sort, swimming, all of those overhead athletes would definitely benefit from this. But specifically for pitching, we break down the pitching mechanics. We watch how kids pitch, and we can pick out things to help correct them so that they don't get injured. There's a lot of research behind what he does from a biomechanical standpoint, and we can break down their pitching mechanics and help them so that even start them from a young age at, 8, 9, 10 years old, to train those little neurons in their arms so that they don't eventually get hurt. Because what we'd really like to do is prevent those kids from getting those rotator cuff tears or labral tears when they're 16, 17, 18 years old, and educate the parents and educate the coaches, because for as much information as we have out there, there's still a lot of misinformation, and that's really the great thing about what I do, is I can help people stay healthy and not be injured. So, we can help those little kids pitch for as long as they want to pitch at whatever level they want to pitch at.
Is the majority of your business, though, people that are coming off injuries surgeries and the rehabbing. Yes. I mean, you still have that, but you yes. have these other services that Correct. Are unique. So you don't have to be someone that came off a surgery. You may want to come and just to fix something, like you said, the aches or pains or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. So sometimes that's the best way to catch something is when you start to hurt. A lot of times I hear people talk about coming into the office and they're like, oh, I've been hurting for 6 months. I'm like, oh my gosh, why have you suffered for 6 months? Because they don't really know what physical therapy is or how it can benefit them. So, you know, certainly we have an aspect where we can take people before they're really, really injured and help them to not be injured eventually, if they listen to what we tell them.
Well, Carrie, and we're talking with Carrie Cunningham with Physiotherapy Associates Lanier. If someone comes in and they have been hurting for a while, but they're not referred by a doctor, mm-hmm. can it be covered by insurance?
So that depends on your insurance plan. We do have some semblance of direct access in Georgia where you can come in and be evaluated, but you cannot be treated by a physical therapist without a doctor's prescription. So it is easier if you ask your physician for a prescription for physical therapy. It just makes it a little less complicated. We're sure then that your insurance company will cover it. So that's usually the best way to do it is to ask your doctor for a prescription.
Do you have patients that don't have insurance or can't afford the physical therapy?
Yes. In fact, that's a big thing right now is there's a lot of folks who don't have insurance. So, and what we do for them is we have different rates, a self-pay rate that are a little bit different. And so we usually go over them and that's kind of a case-by-case basis. We also have a fitness program for folks, so they do have to come in and be evaluated by us first. So they do need a doctor's prescription, come in, be evaluated. And then we have a fitness program, so they can come in for $10 a week during our business hours, and they can do their exercises, but I'm there. So if they have a question, they can ask me, which is kind of nice. So it's catered to them with their evaluation, and a lot of times what people will do is they will be evaluated by us, they'll do the fitness program, and then maybe every 2 or 3 weeks come in and get another treatment session.
Would it be fair to summarize, these things you've just been talking about needing a doctor's note, coming in? Would it be fair to say, hey, call us, ask us your questions, let us see how we can help you and set up a plan for you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can always do that. If anybody has any questions, they can always get a hold of me on their email. Or we are a little limited in the state of Georgia. We can't really give medical advice to people.
Right.
So I can't give you medical advice over the phone. So they can ask questions. Typically, I'll probably say you need to be evaluated by your physician first. That's usually the best way to handle a lot of the questions. But if they have questions about anything physical therapy related, we'll certainly try our best to answer them.
And that goes back to the customer service thing.
Absolutely.
Carrie, give us the details as far as how to reach you, how to find out more information, where you're located, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so we are located off of Friendship Road and Atlanta Highway in Buford, Georgia. So you just take 985 to Friendship Road exit and take a right at the Quick Trip on Buford Highway and go 0.7 miles. We're down on the left. Right out there with on Carter Road with some cows. There are some cows located across from our clinic, but they're very cute.
Dry needling, Tom House, and cows.
That's exactly right.
Is there a website?
Yes, there is. It's www.physiocorp.com. You can always reach me at carrie.cunningham@physiocorp.com. That's carrie.cunningham@physiocorp.com. And our number is 770-614-5772, where you can talk to the lovely Amanda.
All right.
She's wonderful.
Carrie, thanks so much. Thank you for letting us needle you this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say anytime, but I'm not sure that's appropriate.
Carrie Cunningham with Physiotherapy Associates Lanier.
Mike, was that a dry needling?
And we'll edit that part out later.
Awesome.
Mark Potter now joins us from Conduit Incorporated. Mark, tell us, welcome to the show. I know you're apprehensive right now, but go ahead and tell us all about your company and what you do.
Yeah, I am a little apprehensive. I don't want to be dry needled, but this is
can't
great.
Edit that out, Mike.
That's right.
Would you like to become an associate?
Yeah. this is great. I appreciate you having me. Conduit Incorporated, I suppose at its base, is we publish. We're a publisher. I don't really like to define myself by what we do, though. I don't think any good business, it's interesting to listen to the other people talk, it's not about what they do so much as who they do it for. And I think that's sustainable. So while, yes, we publish content, we do a national magazine called Canvas Magazine that goes out to print sales and marketing professionals all over the country. We do a whole host of custom magazines for some large organizations and some smaller organizations across the country. And typically that content that we do takes the form of print. We use all the other vehicles. So I get a little nervous defining myself by product, and it's a lot like this, right? I mean, we're talking about traditional businesses like print and radio, and look at how they've changed. So it's more about the community. Obviously, think about this program. I mean, it serves a community. It stands for businesses within Gwinnett, and that's a big deal, and that's sustainable. So yes, at the core, we do magazines. We publish content, but it's really about who we stand for.
Who are your clients? Who do you serve?
So the printing industry specifically was how we got started. I grew up in the printing industry. I used to run marketing for a fairly large organization that's based here in Georgia. And so I'm born and bred, love the industry. Think about that industry just like every other industry and how it needs to transform. And so those people who want to transform, those people who are not looking to get out of business, who are looking to make hay in the new day, if you will, and transform themselves from maybe what we used to call print service providers to marketing service providers. So we stand for marketing-oriented organizations. And so specifically, Canvas went to them, and it's all sales and marketing material. It's not your traditional trade magazine. Because in today's world, you can read the trades, you know, you can get that information online pretty quickly, and people simply don't want to read that. You know, we are more informed than we've ever been. What people want is they want to be motivated, inspired, and they want to feel smarter for having consumed your content. So that strategy, I don't pretend to be real smart. That strategy, though, it just is a gut feel. That's where the world's going. I think it's a right brain world going forward. I've grown up in the corporate environment where, you know, it was usually the CEO's best friend was the CFO. And the CMO, the marketing guy, you know, he sat at the kids' table. So the reality is marketing is simply what's sustainable. And that's the greatest competitive advantage. So anybody who has that marketing mentality, obviously born and bred out of the printing industry, our clients include printers. They include people like Fuji, Ricoh. We do their custom magazines. So we've got some fairly large clients. We've got some big advertisers within Canvas. So the whole gamut in terms of marketing-based organizations.
You know, Mark, you kind of mentioned that businesses change and all businesses change. But I think for the printing industry, you could probably sit at a cocktail party and go, come on, tell me about your change. Let me tell you how much we've changed over the years, especially in the last decade or so. So if I can summarize, it's almost like the printing industry used to be people come to you and say, this is what I need. Now it's more, you're more consultative, you're more psychotherapy, telling people what they need, all that kind of stuff. So let me let you move forward with your story by telling us a couple of stories. Tell us a little bit about some of your last clients, a small client, a large client, and how you've helped them.
Sure. It's interesting. Well, before I tell you a little bit of that story, I mean, it's kind of like what you say. It's like saying, listen, if we had a mousetrap, we just created this great mousetrap, now go sell it, right? That was what not just the printing industry, but a lot of businesses were. It was, hey, let's go out and we've just created this fantastic product. Let's go sell it. But what if there are no mice? I mean, if you don't have a mouse problem, then the mousetrap is useless. So again, I go back to this whole principle that it's about who you stand for. You know, it's not what you do. It's not even who you know. Right? Because if everybody, you know, you could know everybody, but if they think you're a jerk,
thanks to Facebook, we all know everybody.
Right. But if they think you're a jerk, it doesn't really matter, right? They got to know you. They got to like and trust you. That's how business comes. So, you know, I'm a good story in that, you know, I started a little magazine after leaving the organization, and everybody looked at me like I was nuts. I mean, they said, you're going to do a printed magazine for the printing industry. And they had no idea what I was really doing was building a community. And today, you know, we've blossomed and we've got, you know, lots and lots of clients, lots of custom clients. I've got a customer up in New Jersey who calls me after we started putting out content for him. And I said to him, I, you know, we're not an ROI. I don't necessarily believe in ROI. You're not going to spend X dollars and have that come back. If it were that easy, right? It's kind of like that 9%, right? It would everybody would be doing it. So I said to him, you know, don't think that you're going to put out your first issue and that clients are going to be knocking down your door. You know, this is about top of mind. This is about creating awareness and changing the perception of who you are. And he calls me up, and he's from Jersey, and of course, in his very Jersey-esque way, says, you know, I blankety-blank love Connect. Connect Magazine is what we do for him. And I said, well, why is that? He says, you know, we've been trying to get into a client for 3 years, and we took a meeting with him last week. I said, that's great. He said, at the end of the meeting, I said, well, why did you take that meeting with us? He said, it was that magazine. The perception of us changed. So it creates conversation. So going to what you said, right, you can't wait for them. They got to perceive you. They got to perceive you as someone who can answer their questions. You know, there's a great author named Daniel Pink, and we just interviewed him for Canvas Magazine in our current issue. And he says, he just came out with a book called To Sell Is Human. And it's, we're all in sales. We're all moving people. And he said, you know, if you thought about the salesperson of yesteryear, you kind of had that, oh boy, am I, you know, slick willy. There was a negative connotation when it comes to sales. You never knew if you were quite getting the right deal. You come off the car lot and somebody says to you, well, you know, did you really get the best deal? And so you never know. It was buyer beware, right? Well, we live in an environment today that is actually seller beware. See, it was a product of the condition. So you've got to be a little bit more sincere. They got to know that you're from here. So that's kind of what we are. You know, we go deeper. We're not, hey, we do magazines and everybody wants to put something in print, call us. It's really got to be a fit in terms of your marketing mentality.
We're talking with Mark Potter with Conduit Incorporated. Mark, you started the company almost six years ago. What are some of the lessons you've learned since you started the company?
I think the greatest lessons are that we define ourselves so succinctly. You know, if you think about it, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm whatever this is, you know, entrepreneur, publisher, marketer. I'm a hockey dad, and I'm a really bad hockey player. And that's it. I got no room for anything else. What I read, what I wear, what I drive, what we buy, who I hang out with, that's how I define myself. And in this day and age, I can do that. I go to the same websites, right? I watch the same TV shows. In fact, I'm probably TiVoing my way through life. I have the power. And so understanding the power, understanding that is a big deal. If you can understand that and you can become part of that world, if you can get into my world, if you're not in any of those things I just said, I'm probably not going to spend much time with you. So that's the lesson. I mean, marketing is here to stay, and the greatest brands on earth. I mean, everybody thinks Steve Jobs created this behemoth because he created this great technology. But if you think about it, he grabbed our attention with a hardware piece of a Macintosh. He put that silly looking Macintosh on top of the desk. And so he grabbed our attention. And then he said, you know, I'm for the creatives. Remember the commercial where he says, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC. Well, he literally wasn't shy about saying, here's who I stand for. I don't stand for the suits. And so when he stood for them, he gained their trust. And anything he said, right? His famous quote was, I don't ask the market what they want. I tell them what they want. But he had to gain their trust first. So that's the lesson, is that define yourself by that community, become part of their inner circle. And that means there's choices. You can't be everything to everybody. And we certainly are not. We go deeper with people who want to develop a relationship with their market. We do it in a thoughtful way. People want to read about themselves. They don't want to read about the latest press technology, that type of stuff. So it's really interesting. It's a powerful world we live in, and we have the power, and recognizing that is a big deal.
I'm going to be writing a lot of this down later when I listen to the show again, because he's saying a lot of things that we do here at Business Radio X, which is amazing and defines our success here. Real quick, and I know you've got some questions, Steve, as well, but how do you remain relevant? How do you see yourself moving forward?
Well, I think relevance is the same as sustainability in terms of if you're defined by that market and they like you, then they'll ask you for the new things. Think about a printer, for example. A printer yesterday was selling ink on paper. Well, if that's who they are and if that's the world and the world perceives them that way, then they're going to have a very difficult time selling anything beyond print. But if they think of them as someone who's thoughtful and engaged, they may ask them, hey, I need pens. I need ad specialty items, right? So they have to first perceive you. So the way you stay relevant, it's just like my wife would probably not agree with this, but it's just like your marriage, right? I mean, the way you stay relevant in your marriage is you better be in tune. You know, you better be asking questions. You know, no matter how long you were married, you got to continue to understand. Things change. You have kids. You get older. And so I think that's just being market-based. The way you stay relevant, the answer's pretty easy. The execution is really hard because you deal with a lot of people. You know, I used to work for a large organization, and, you know, you put a lot of people in a big organization, and we're selfish creatures. And your ability to kind of at least shelve most of that and start to think and put yourself in other people's shoes, that's what keeps you relevant. So, you know, I don't think it's brain surgery. I don't think that I'm saying anything that you probably couldn't pull out of, an MBA or a textbook. But it's interesting. Not a lot of people think this way. And if you can get there and commit to it as an organization, you'll be relevant for a long time.
So, Mark, let me jump on something you just said. Not a lot of people are thinking this way. So that clearly is a great niche for you. So if I'm a business owner here in Gwinnett County, I'm listening to this interview. Man, I need to talk to Mark. I need to talk to Mark. He's saying some things that are just absolutely resonating with me and that I'm not hearing. Where would you start that conversation with them? What are some of the first questions you would ask so that you could start to paint a picture and take me as a client down the road you want to take me to help?
Absolutely. I think it's the very first question is, what do you do, or who are you? And that's a tricky question. So you saw me stumble on it here at the beginning. I to this day, I preach to everybody that you cannot answer that question that I do mousetraps, right? You have to, your answer has to be in terms of who. So that's it. Do that. You have to, that conversation would start with an introspective look at who you stand for. You know, if you call on Home Depot one day and a balloon company the next day, I'm not sure there's a lot of synergy there. Again, we all want to say, hey, you know, I'll tell you the story. I'll never forget my first call when I started Canvas Magazine. I went up to a paper company to advertise, and they knew me for a long time. And they said, oh, we love entrepreneurial stuff. And I walked in, and I just spewed. I just kept talking and talking about myself and what we're going to do, and this magazine's going to be fantastic. I swear to you, within 5 minutes, I was a sweaty mess. And it was because I was thinking about my wallet. I was thinking about, I need this sale. In terms of, I should have been asking them, who is it that you want to connect with? And then you have to have the courage to say, you know, maybe we don't resonate. You know, last little analogy I would give you is I have a brother who's a certified financial planner. And I said, okay, buddy, I said, if you get into an elevator and there's a guy with a 10-gallon hat with gazillions of dollars, and he turns to you and for some reason asks, hey, what do you do? And you tell him, well, I'm a certified financial planner for so-and-so. He's mentally got off at the next floor, right? Because to him, he just heard what is probably a dime a dozen. But if my brother were to turn to him and say, well, Bob, it's not really what I do, it's who I stand for, and he defines them succinctly, that person asks himself something. They say, well, that sounds nothing like me. Okay, and nobody's wasted any time, or it sounds exactly like me, or even better, it sounds exactly like who I want to be, then the conversation can start. So long-winded way. Obviously, this is why I do magazines, by the way, because I don't say hello in 5 minutes. I got to put it in print.
But you're not a sweaty mess, Mark.
That's not yet. But I, honestly, that's where the conversation would start, is who do you stand for? Who defines themselves by you? You know, think about the greatest brands in your life. I mean, somebody who goes plays TaylorMade or drinks Coca-Cola or Budweiser. In some small way, they define themselves by those brands. And so you need to find a way to be part of that world.
You talk about some of the companies that you're working with now. You mentioned Eureka and some of the others, some pretty sizable companies. How do you find these companies? How do you go to market? How do you build your business?
Well, it's interesting. They find me. You know, think about Canvas Magazine goes out to 20,000 people across the country, and that's all permission based. We don't just send magazines. If you haven't asked for it, you're not getting it. And that's another lesson, right? Is that you got to be permission based. So, but they think, hey, these guys are putting out thoughtful content. They have their. I don't really know that much about printing, and I'm probably not that good of a salesperson. But I put out a magazine for print sellers. And so they think I have my finger on the pulse. So perception is everything. And when they perceive you to be a certain way, they call you. Hey, you know, I saw that you don't do this. I mean, so it's really, you can't just knock on doors, you know. It's a different day.
For those companies that want to talk to you now after hearing all this, and I think there's maybe a few, how do they get in touch with you? How can they find out more information about your company?
I think the best way right now would be to check us out. First of all, get some at our Canvas Magazine website. So it's thecanvasmag.com, or call us at 678-473-6131. And can't hurt to, you know, just have a conversation.
Absolutely. Mark, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Potter with Conduit Incorporated. Also, a big thanks to Sam Pallara with Samcor & Associates and Carrie Cunningham with Physiotherapy Associates Lanier. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs anytime, 24/7, by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Steve and Julian.
Hey, me and my associates are going to go get some dry needling done.
I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.